Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Ephesians. The New Testament book of Ephesians, and Ephesians in chapter number 3. Ephesians and chapter number 3. We are ending our series of labor in the church and in service of the house of the Lord with the principle that God wants everyone to find their place in God's work. And as we finish off this, we want to see the importance of God's local church according to what he has to say in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians and chapter number 3. Ephesians and chapter number 3. And if you don't mind, as we look together in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, we'll let people find the passage for themselves. I love it when people are able to look at the Word of God for themselves, to be able to see it and read it for themselves. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and notice with me in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how by the revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery, as I have wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who hath created all things by Christ Jesus. To the intent now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice a word that repeats itself throughout the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 3, we have the word mystery. In verse number 4, once again, we have the word mystery. And over we have this word that pops up, which is the word mystery. We see it again in verse number 9, the word mystery. And with this, we're going to cover the context of this and see the mystery of the church. The mystery of the church. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, Lord, I'm asking that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us discernment, that you would give us understanding, that you would be able to help us to see with spiritual eyes how important this is, this subject that you put down, and that you would be able to see us, Lord, in this church and everything that's going on, and that we may be pleasing to you with the things that are going here. Lord, I'm asking that you would set aside distractions, that our hearts and our minds would be put upon you, that we wouldn't be able, that we would not miss all that you would have for us, that we ourselves can go, wow, what a Savior by the time that we're done. Wow, what a God. Lord, draw us close to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. In the church of Ephesus, the local church that found inside of the city of Ephesus, they had a little bit of a problem going on. And in this, there was a problem between several groups of people found within the church. Inside of the church of Ephesus, you had two major groups. You had the Jewish people, the Jewish believers, and the Gentile believers. Remember that the Jewish people are people who come from Abraham, the Hebrew people. And these are people that accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and they also come from a Jewish heritage. On the other side, you would have the Gentile believers. These would be people who were not of Jewish descent, and yet they too had accepted Jesus as their Savior. And inside of the church, you would almost have a division, sort of like we have here. Then on this side, you would have the Jewish believers, and then over here, you would have the Gentile believers. And the problem is that they became cliquish and to the idea that the Jewish believers would look down at their noses at the Gentile believers. The Gentile believers would feel that and kind of wonder what's wrong with them. Part of what the issue was is that the Hebrew people had grown up all of their life being taught that they were God's special people. That God loved them in a special way, and he had promises for them. And look at this, I'm a Jewish person, God loves me. They were also taught that anyone who was not Jewish were equivalent to dogs. And so they were very much having an issue that they thought they were superior. They thought they were better. They thought they were greater. And they would look down at the Gentile believers and they said, sure, God saved them and God is merciful, but still I can't see them any more than dogs. Well, when you have a church where you have people on this side looking down their noses at the people on this side, you've got a church that's got a problem. You've got a division. You've got a split. You've got things that are having problems that are going to disrupt what God is trying to get accomplished within the church. So with this, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is used to pen the book of Ephesians. And the principle we find in the book is unity. That, you know, God desires every local church to be unified. How is a church unified? When we're no longer looking at ourselves, but we're looking at the Lord. So with this, the Apostle Paul, with pen and paper in hand, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is used to try to fix this problem. What is the problem? You've got people on one side who think they're better than the other side, and the people on the other side are feeling offended because those people are against them. How do you solve a problem when people are dead set and split on this? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say. The first thing I'd like to show you in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 is the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery. Notice with me in chapter 3 and verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now, notice that here, Paul identifies himself as the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. This was not a title, nor was it a complaint. It was recognition that he's in jail. When Paul is writing this, he is currently in prison in Rome for preaching the gospel. Paul's not complaining, but he's reminding them where he is currently at. He's in prison for preaching the gospel. He's in prison by telling people that people can know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have forgiveness of sins. Notice with me in verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how by revelation he had made known unto me the mystery, as I have written in aforetime. Paul explains that he has been trusted with a dispensation of grace. Now, dispensation is a big word, and it carries the idea in its strictest meaning is that a certain block of time. And he's saying in this certain block of time, God has given to me to be the steward of the gospel, the truth that God has given to me. And he has given me a mystery. Now, the word mystery today is a little bit different than what the Bible mystery is. For example, you may read a mystery book. And as you read the mystery book, you're trying to figure out who done it. You figure out the clues, you try to figure it out, and hopefully at the end you get the right thing. Or the author spoils it and tells you who did it. That they have the idea of mystery. But that's not what the word mystery in the Bible means. The word mystery in the Bible means something that was previously hidden, but is now revealed. Something that is previously hidden, but is now revealed. And he says, listen, I'm not giving you a hidden truth. I'm giving you a revealed truth that was hidden back then, but you need to know about now. This mystery is going to be very important, and Paul is saying that God has given me, Paul, the responsibility, the stewardship, to tell you, to explain to you this mystery. He wants you not to be ignorant of it, but he wants you to know what this mystery is. Notice, if you don't mind, as we continue to go on. Verse number 4. It says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He's been tasked with this, and he wants them to understand, not something that says, oh, I just can't understand this. A lot of times people treat Bible truth as something mysterious, as something spooky, as something unknowable. But God wants you to know Bible doctrine. He wants you to understand Bible truth. He doesn't make it so only the scholars understand it. He tries to make it as simple that children can understand it. So we're going to put this to the test, all right? If you are a child, raise your hand. If you're a child, raise your hand. There we go. That means by the time I'm done with this, you need to understand the mystery. So pay attention. I'm going to ask you afterwards. So you need to pay attention that you don't miss this. So this is a truth that is made so even children can understand. So stay with me. All right, let's go on. Verse 5. In which other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The mystery that Paul is describing is the New Testament church, the local church. It's a new work that was hidden inside of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God was primarily dealing with his people, Israel. And in the book of, in the Old Testament, we see the history of the Hebrew people. We see God's working of the Hebrew people. We see the promises of the Hebrew people. But now as we hit the New Testament is not just for Hebrew people. The scope is now opened up for everyone. So because of that, the mystery of the church was not needed because God was dealing with the Hebrew people. But now in the New Testament, God is doing something new and unique and special for everyone to be a part of, not just the Hebrew people. Now, inside of this, he reveals what this mystery is just a bit. He explains that these promises, which was now hidden in the Old Testament, which is now hidden, he's trying to explain that there's a difference. By the way, I'm going to pause. There is a difference between Israel and the church. And that we have to understand that difference if we're going to get a clear understanding of Bible doctrine. God made in the Old Testament promises to the Hebrew people that don't necessarily belong to the Christian people. God promised the Hebrew people a land forever. Well, that's not given to us as Gentile believers in the New Testament. God made certain promises. But now we have something different going on in the New Testament, and that's going to be the mystery of the church. There is a difference. With that, let's now dive into the heart of this, the fellowship of the mystery. Now, this is where I want you to pay attention, especially you kids. Notice with me in verse 6. What is this mystery that was hidden before, verse 6? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs under the same body, and the partakers of his promise in the Christ by the gospel. So what has happened is that, remember, in this section here, who did we say was sitting in this section? Jews, the Hebrew believers. And in this section we had Gentiles. So the Hebrew people were taught that they were God's special people, that they were unique and special, and that the Gentiles were nothing more than dogs. In Ephesians chapter 1, God begins to talk about the promises given to the Hebrew people. And that talking about, I gave these promises. Chapter 2, he puts a bit more. Chapter 3, he now switches things. And so remember that the way things were done back there is that Paul would write a letter. And he would write a letter to the church, and then the pastor of the church at that time would say, all right, church, Paul the apostle, the person God used to found this church, wrote us a letter. Today, for Sunday morning, we're going to read here Paul's letter. And so people are excited. Yay, I remember the apostle Paul. He led me to the Lord. This is so special. So they start reading chapter 1, chapter 2. They're talking about God gave these promises to the Hebrew people. Great, wonderful. There was good stuff for the Gentiles too, that they're accepted in the beloved. But now, as we hit chapter 3, as the preacher is reading this out loud, it says in verse number 6 that the Gentiles, now the Gentiles perk up. Oh, we're talking to the, talking about us. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs. So what happens now is that the Jewish people who've been listening, it's been about them, now here the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. They're going to inherit some of the things that the Gentiles had, or that the Hebrew people had. The Hebrew people, what? Wait a second, what? But then, verse number 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Some Jewish lady just passed out. Wait a second. You're saying those dogs who got saved are going to be part of the same body? You can't put dogs with us. We're not the same. But what they were missing is that God was doing something special and unique. All right, so let's do a survey here. We know that in this room, we have different age groups. We have different likes. We have different backgrounds, different nationalities, different other things. We all come from different things. For example, I am now in my mid-40s, leaning towards the other direction now. And on a normal basis, most of you would not hang out with me outside of church, because we're not the same age. We don't do the same things, right? For example, we got those three young ladies back there. Can you imagine me come home with y'all today and say, you know what, let's play together. If you guys want to play dollhouse, you know. I mean, that's kind of weird, isn't it? We don't do the same thing. All right, you got you two back here. Let's say, you know, we're going to go ride bikes later. That'd kind of be weird for me. No, see, it's winter, but, you know, we don't do the same things, all right? Now, there's some of you older folks, right? Hey, you know what? I'm going to go out. Let's go be active. And some of you know. So, you know, we because of our age, we have different activities and different ways we think. All right, well, we have different likes. I'm a nerd. People ask me all the time, what do you do for fun? I study. Some of you does not sound fun. Hey, you know what? Hang out with me today, and we're going to do what I think is fun. Let's do that. You guys wouldn't show up. You have different idea of fun. I'm a nerd. I like to study. I like to read. Some of you do not. So we wouldn't hang out on that basis. So we wouldn't hang out because of the age. We wouldn't hang out because of our likes. I mean, some of you like things that I just, you know, people like, oh yeah, me and my family are going hiking. Not my cup of tea. I know I'm going to offend someone right here. I hate fishing. That's not my thing. To me, that's much the boring waste of time. The only reason why I go fishing is to hang out with someone, to spend time with them. It's not something I would do willingly. So, you know, because of that, we have different likes. We have different dislikes. We have different things that we do. We have different backgrounds. For example, I'm from Texas, the best country in the world. I mean, we just have a good time. There's some of you that get along well with me because of that, right, Miss Donna? There's some of you like, what? I meant, I say y'all, and some of you still look at me crazy for saying y'all. I meant, when Max goes visit his family and he gets his Tennessee accent back, then everybody like hangs around and listens to him because he talks funny. We have different backgrounds, different ways of thinking, different ways of doing things. I come from a scientific background. I like science. I like some of you, that's not your cup of tea. So we can all admit that we're different. We have different backgrounds. We have different likes. That on a normal basis, we would not hang out. You can't imagine pastor going home with you and just saying, whatever you guys want to do this afternoon, I'll do with you. It's not what you would be thinking about doing. So we don't have that to unite us. So we come, we all have different backgrounds. We have different ages, different likes, different things that we do. How in the world is it that we could be here together? What unifies us? One thing. All of us were sinners who offended a holy, righteous God. And that we deserve to go to an awful place called hell, and there's nothing we could have done about it. There's nothing we could do to fix it. There's nothing we could do to adjust it. We were all guilty. Every single one of us had to accept the free gift of salvation for ourselves, because there was none righteous, no, not one. All of us came to God the same way, guilty sinners needing a Savior. Because of that, we all have a uniting front. We all came to know Christ as our Savior. We now have a common thing in place, that we are now together in Christ. This is what the mystery of the church is that all of the people from different backgrounds, different ages, different likes, different things, people who normally would not spend time together, are now united together because of the common bond of Christ. As we've just passed the Christmas season, many of you heard me several times say that I'm closer to you than I am my own kin. Why are we closer? Is it because we hang out together and play your Xbox? Is it because we're in sewing class together, knitting class? Is it because I'm riding bikes with you or playing Bart? No. What is it that makes the bond closer? Christ. All of us came to Christ together. All of us have that common bond of us being sinners. And because of that, we're united. And with that, there's no one in here that's better or greater than anyone else. We're all equal in that we're all sinners deserving of hell. And we're all equal, saying that we all had to come to Jesus Christ the same way. This is the fellowship of the mystery. That because of the mystery, that Jesus died for the purpose of bringing people to the Lord, but didn't stop there. He wanted those people to be united in fellowship inside of the local church. This is the fellowship of the mystery, that we all have the common bond of Jesus Christ together. You see, that's so simple, even kids can understand that. That the reason why we're here at church is because Jesus saved us. And we could worship God together. And we could fellowship together. And we could sing songs together. And we could praise God together. Because of the common bond of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Notice as Paul goes on with this, verse 7. whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul says, you want to hear something amazing? I was a murderer. I dragged people out of their houses and had them killed. And yet God used a murderer, a sinful soul like me, to have the privilege of telling others how they could have the common bond of Jesus Christ. That's my job now as a low-down sinner that God saved, that everyone else could enjoy that fellowship together. That this offer is given to anyone and everyone, and I have the privilege of telling people about him. The least of his saints, the most awfulest sinner, and God's able to use. What a great God that God can use anyone, no matter what your past, because of the common bond of Jesus Christ. Notice as it goes on in verse number 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who hath created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 9 is important because it shows us that the local church was not plan B. This was something God had in mind from the very beginning. Some people will teach, well, the Hebrew people, God gave all these promises, but the Hebrew people abandoned God. And because of that, God had to come up with a different plan. And so he sent Jesus to die and then put the local church because the Hebrew people failed. That is not what this verse teaches. This verse teaches that God always had this in mind. That he did it in steps, that he started with the Hebrew people to bring them to himself. But he always had in mind that a local church where people of different backgrounds, different races, different creeds, different ages, different likes, whatever, could come together. This was always part of God's plan. God was not just exclusively for the Hebrew people, but he wanted to use the Hebrew people to reach the world. God had this in mind the entire time. This was not plan B. This was something God had in mind the entire time. Notice in verse 10. Verse 10 is wonderful. Verse 10 should make you go, wow, when we understand this. It says, to the intent now, for the purpose that the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So let's understand the subject. It says, to the purpose that the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So in verse 10, is it talking about people? No. Do you know there is a spiritual world out there? We're not the only ones out there. God has created angels. There are principalities and powers in heavenly places. And God says, I did something so big and so amazing to the purpose, to the intent that the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that the angels themselves, notice this, might be known by the church. Now, we're going to do English. I know that we're not in school time yet, but by the church is what we call a prepositional phrase. So by the church is a prepositional phrase that modifies this. For now, let's just take this the phrase by the church and let's set it aside, okay? So it says in verse 10, to the intent now that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known the manifold wisdom of God. So notice this, God had a purpose of showing the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the angels themselves, to make them know the manifold wisdom. How? By the church. Let me tell you what's going on right now. Right now, we're gathered together in a small little town that nobody knows about, nobody cares about. We're in a small little church where people like, well, it doesn't matter. But you know what's happening up in heaven right now? Up in heaven, the angels are watching our church service, currently present tense. And they're looking down at all of us here and saying, wait a second. These were people that not too long ago were raising their fists and say, God, leave me alone. I don't want you. I'll do whatever I want. People who were sinners, people who were messing up things, people who were ruining lives, people who were involved who didn't want to have anything to do with God. And then someone came and told us the gospel. Someone told us that Jesus died on the cross, died and was buried, and rose again the third day, and that he did it to pay for all of our sins, and he paid our price for us. And now these same sinful people who once hated God, who didn't want anything to do with God, that didn't want God part of their lives, who rebelled against God, who sinned and broke his heart over and over, are now gathered together listening to a message with a common ground of Jesus Christ. And now we want to serve God. Now we want to sing praises to God. And the angels are looking down and saying, only God could have done this. No one else could have done this. Only God could have put those people together. Only God could have put this church together. You know, a church is not these four walls, it's the building. And you are here not by accident. God brought you here to make the angels go, wow.
Amen.
By the church. That when you are a part of a local church, you're a part of something very big. When you are a part of a local church, you're a part of something very important. When you're a part of a local church, you're a part of something very old. When you are part of the local church, you are something that makes the angels in heaven look down and go, wow, only God could have done that. What a God. You know, sometimes you may get to the place where, oh, I gotta go to church, or this is a waste of my time. But let me tell you, dear friend, when you show up, you are a part of something that still makes the angels look down and go, wow, what a God. You see, the angels are still in awe over God with what he did here. Remember, normally none of you would have nothing to do with me. If it wasn't for this church, you wouldn't have anything to do with me. You wouldn't talk to me. You wouldn't go across the street to help me up. We wouldn't do anything together. But because of Jesus Christ, we're gathered here together. Because of Jesus Christ and the common bond, we are here together saying, what a great God, and singing his praises, how great thou art. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And the angels are going, what happened? Wow, look at what God did. Even a small church like ours makes the angels in heaven go, wow, what a God. You understand that when you are a part of a local church, you're a member of a local church, you are a part of something that was in God's plan from the very beginning. You are a part of something that makes the angels in heaven go, wow, what a God. What a Savior. It is very important to be a part of a local church and to have the same heart that God has. This is important. This is something big. This is not a waste of our time. This is something that makes the angels go, wow, don't you want to be a part of that? What a great God that we have. Notice as it goes on, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice this. This was always his goal. This was his eternal purpose, to be able to have local churches where sinners gather together, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the angels look down and go, wow. And God says, see, look how great I am. And the angel's like, only you could have done this, God. Only you could have done this. This was always part of God's plan. Verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. What a great God. Now, because of this, so what? How does this affect us? The next thing I want to show you is the reaction to the mystery. Basically, how does the church help us? How does the church help us? We know that the local church is something for the intent now that the principalities and powers up in heaven may look at the manifold wisdom of God by the church and go, wow, what a God. But what does being part of a local church do for you? How does it help you? Well, notice there's several things here, if you don't mind. And let's see, first of all, it helps us not to faint. If you want to use a different word for it, it helps us not to quit. Notice, if you don't mind, verse 13. Wherefore, so because of all of this, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He says, when you are part of a local church and you are faithful to it, it helps you not to quit. This world is mean. This world will sap all of your strength, all of your might, all of your energy. It will sap away all of your faith. How do you keep going in a dark world? Being faithful to a local church. Being faithful to a local church helps you not to faint, not to quit. You know that when people start skipping Wednesday night services and they stop showing up to Sunday night and they stop showing to Sunday school, I could tell this is a family that's in trouble. They're getting ready to quit. Why? They're not going to have the spiritual strength to go on. Where do you get strength to read your Bible? By going to church and having a preacher scream every day. The greatest thing you can do on a daily basis is read the Word of God. You know how easy it is to quit when no one's checking on you? You know how easy it is to not to be faithful in your devotions and spending time with the Lord? This is why being part of a local church helps us to keep us strong so we can do what God's given us to do, to help us not to quit when this world is trying to take everything away from us. You see, when you're a part of a local church, you're part of something very big. And when you're part of a local church, it helps you not to quit. What else does being part of a local church help you do? Not only does it help you not to quit, but notice if you don't mind, as we go on, we could see even more in verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. By the way, when we're a part of the family of God, that means you've come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're family together. Remember the initial problem? Is that they had this group over here against this group. Do you know how you solve that? When we realize we're part of the same family. We've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're all equal, that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And that we're part of the family of God. I am not better than you and you're not better than me. Let's just keep our eyes on the Lord because we're part of the same family. You know, it's always horrible when family fights. There should be a unifying thing with a family. And that's being recognizing that we're not individuals per se. We are a family. And we should treat this as a family. Families should get along and serve the Lord together. Verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by might by his Spirit in the inner man. What's another benefit of the local church? Not only does it help you not to quit, but it strengthens you up. To be strengthened by his might in the inner man. How do we get the strength, not only just to survive, but to thrive spiritually? By the local church. We need the local church. We need to be faithful to the local church to keep us strong. You know, when you've been out of church for a while, you could tell that you're weak. You could tell, well, I don't want to talk to people about the Lord. I don't want to invite people to the Lord. I'm having a hard time reading my Bible. The church strengthens us up. We need to be in church even more to be strengthened, to have the spiritual strength to do what we ought to do, to witness, to be faithful, to make wise decisions. Notice as we go on in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts in faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Do you know where we learn about the love of God? From the Bible and from church. We're reminded of the love of God. Do you know the love of God constraineth us? When we're reminded of how much God loves us. You know, normally, on a normal basis, unless you're getting super spiritual, you're not thinking about God's love all the time. But you at church, you're reminded about how much God loved you. He loved you so much that he died on the cross for you. When you realize that God loved you and it helps you to keep going on. Why do I want to read my Bible? Because he loves me. Why do I want to keep praying? Because he loves me. When I realize how much he loved me, when I stay at the foot of the cross of Calvary, it changes me. By the way, that's the theme of 2026 is the love of God. We're going to spend a whole year talking about the love of God. Because we need to be reminded of how much God loves me. Because we all get the pity disease. Nobody likes me. Everyone hates me. Think I'll eat some worms. Woohoo. We get to the place of having a pity party and get to the place of depression because we're looking at ourselves. They say that if you look at others, you get discouraged. When you look at yourself, you get depressed. But when you look at him, you get impressed. Stay looking at him. Stay looking at him when you realize the love of God, how much he loved you, how much he cared for you. He loved you when you were a nothing And he still loves you now. God commendeth his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you when you were still a sinner. Not because you were a great catch. He died for you when you were going to give him nothing and offer him nothing. And he loved you anyways enough to die on the cross. The more that you study the love of God, the more that you'll be strengthened in what he's given. Where do we learn about it? Church. Church is where we're reminded about how much he loves us. Notice in verse 18. And may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You know what understanding the love of God does? It helps us to be filled with the fullness of God. That means to have everything that God wants you to have. Where do you get that from? From the church. To be filled with the fullness of God, to have everything he desires for you. You get that by being faithful to church. God, through the preaching of his word and through the fellowship of his people and through the praises of his songs, God helps us to be filled, to have be filled with peace, to be filled with joy, to be filled with wisdom. God gives us these things to be filled with his spirit by the local church. This is part of something very big, to be spiritually complete and to be equipped to do what God's given us to do, to be fulfilled with all his feelings, everything that he's given you to do. Then notice, if you don't mind, as we continue in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 20 is very important. You know what happens when we're a part of a local church and we're faithful? It encourages us to pray big prayers. It encourages us to trust him for more. It gives us that strength that we could ask for exceedingly, abundantly above. Case in point, we've been asking for a miracle. And isn't it wonderful as we're watching God starting to fulfill that with what we've been looking forward to? We said, this is impossible. We can't do this. And God's doing that. By the way, if you've been here for a couple of years, you watch God do impossible Amen. Things over and over and over here. It's been amazing what God has done with this small little church. I'd love for us to be running 200, 500, 1,000, whatever else. But that's God's business. God says, this is what we get. But you know, through this local church, we encourage so many others. Amen. And through this local church, we're trying to work with our publishing company to get materials to the mission field that we could reach millions of people that we'll never see here. God could do so much through here just to prove that he's the God of the impossible. And we're able to see and depend on God that he is able to do above, exceedingly above, anything that we could do or ask or think. Where does that come from? The church. That as we're together and as we're looking at God together and we could see that he could do anything, that everything is possible with God. Oh, then we could charge forward together and move forward together because of our faith together in God. Whereas I don't have enough faith in myself, when we are all believing it, it does something to us. And believe that God can do anything but fail, to be able to attempt the impossible. Where does that come? It comes from being a part of a local church. It will not come being separate from a local church. Verse 21. To him be glory in the church. Once again, that was another prepositional phrase, in the church. So unto him be glory by Christ Jesus throughout ages, world with it, and in the church. How does Jesus get glory throughout all the ages? God has designed it through the church. Through the local church, this is how Jesus gets praises and honor and glory. Jesus died for us. Shouldn't we want him to be glorified? Then how is he glorified? In the church. There are so many people who think that they can live outside of the church. There are some people who believe that they could just show up to a church and not be a part of it. Just be a spectator. You're missing out. Amen. You're missing out on what God had intended. God wants every Christian to be a member of a local church, and not just a member, a participating member, because all of us are important. God has a plan for us. God has a desire. This is meant to encourage you to be faithful as we now start this brand new year, that as often as you can, not being providentially hindered. We understand there are some people that work during some services and you can't make it. And we understand that. But as much as you can, to be a part of God's church, to be there faithful and participate and watch God do amazing things. That when we're a part of a local church, we're a part of something very old, something very big. And something that makes the angels up in heaven go, wow, what a God. When you're a member of this church, the Riverview Baptist Church, you are part of something amazing. You are part of something big. You are a part of something that God had in mind the whole time. You are part of something that makes the angels go, wow, what a God. When you're a part of a local church, you are part of something God had in mind to be amazing. Let's be thankful for the church that we're in. With that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And again, thank you for the encouragement of your word. And thank you for allowing us to be a part of this local church. Lord, maybe there's someone in here that's not a member. You're saved, but you're not a member of this church. Lord, I'm asking that you would give them the courage and bravery to ask, and we'd be glad to give you information, tell you what you need to do. So that way you could be a member of this local church. For those of you who are members, maybe you get to the place where you start saying, well, this isn't that big of a deal. We need to get back to seeing this is a big deal. We need to be excited because the angels are excited when they're watching our service. This is important. There's not a single service that is not important in God's eyes and the eyes of eternity and the eyes of heaven. Lord, let us be thankful for what you are doing in our midst and just be engaged in what you're doing in the world today. Thank you, Lord. Encourage your folks now and strengthen them by your might in the inner man, that they may be filled with all the fullness of you. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.